Today's episode is for the high achievers out there who need a freaking break, who are ready to pour themselves a martini or a mocktail and start really enjoying their lives and living a life of leisure. I have got a bunch of quick hits to help you get into that mode of embodying your wealthiest self. Welcome to Old Money, a show dedicated to helping you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. Ladies who lunch, listen up. Life is not about looking rich. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. If you're ready to stack cash, talk shop, and trade insider secrets, you're in the right place. These are the new rules to old money, so let's get after it. Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money. It's the podcast for women building the trust funds they wish they were born with. I'm your host, your very humble host, Amber Frankhusen. How are you? I feel like it's been a minute since I've talked directly to you, my rich girls. Thank you so much for all of your support. You guys have been showing up and showing out on social, especially in the DMs. There are so many good conversations happening there. And I wasn't going to announce it now, but I guess I might as well. Okay, so hang on till the end of the show. I have a really big announcement about the really good conversations that are happening. So hang on for that. And while we're at it, I might as well just give you two big announcements at the end of the show. So more on that later. I'm making a note so I can go back to that. Okay. But today, I hope you're having a very wealthy week. I want it to feel even wealthier for you. Something lighter, frothy. You know, we're talking about leisure today. I have got for you some things that I have been indulging in recently that's going to focus your energy in a very rich way. And, you know, I ask you guys all the time when we talk about why we're pursuing wealth, why we want to build our net worths, why we're working so hard. It's usually because we're chasing this feeling of what we think we're going to feel like when we're very wealthy, right? A lot of people have the feelings like in the envisioning of when I am at my future ideal self, when I have the money in the bank that I think that I want, I will feel joyful. I will feel relaxed. I will feel whole. I will feel secure. And our journey in this wealth building process is noticing that if we want to feel those feelings, we have to feel them now, no matter what amount is in our bank account. Because it's not the money that's going to give us those feelings. Those feelings come from within. If you can remember the acronym TFAR, we've talked about it before, TFAR, your thoughts inform your feelings, which will inform your actions, which will inform your results. So unfortunately, you can't get to the result of feeling secure unless you have a thought to start it. And yes, there are external influences that can inform your thoughts, but you also have the ability to change your thoughts today. And that is what I have been working on. I have been in a season. It's been a season. I'm not even going to blame it on Mercury in retrograde. I'm not going to blame it on eclipse season. I'm not going to blame it on winter and seasonal depression. I've been in a season and it's been heavy. I know my rich girls can relate because we're all out there grinding, working, trying to figure out our families, our homes, our relationships, our jobs, our businesses, our health, all the things. We're tracking our periods, looking at our temperatures, figuring out what time of day is best for us to wake up, going to sleep on time, trying not to drink too much wine. Like, it's so much to manage. I've been in this system, in this season rather, of trying to outwork everything, because I feel like I have this idea that if I work harder, things will get better. And I'm learning painfully over and over and over again that the more that I work, the more trouble I bring onto myself. And the more that I rest, the more things figure themselves out while I'm out of the way. The more I rest, the better ideas I have, the better quality ideas I have. The more I rest, the more I enjoy the work. The more I rest, the more I enjoy my life. So this chapter is, what's that book called? Like the Season of Rest and Relaxation or something like that. I haven't read it, so don't quote me on that. But today's episode is all about the things that I've been indulging in that have brought me that feeling of leisure, because that is my rich vision. That's the thing I think I'm going to feel. Like, I have so much leisure time when I'm exorbitantly wealthy and choose to work. I don't have to work. I feel like I'm going to have a lot of time. an unstructured day to me is goals. Like an unstructured day is my wealthy life. Being able to sleep in late, read in the morning, walk the dog slowly, grab a coffee, podcast if I feel like it, maybe work for a couple hours, not have meetings to prep for. That is my idea of a very rich day. And typically I get those on weekends. Honestly, recently I've been working every weekend. So again, my focus for myself, and I hope this brings you value as well, is to lean into lightening up, having a little bit more fun. I'm a very serious girly. It's not something I'm proud of, but I'm exhausted. And so my focus in this transition period is what are the things that are bringing me joy and forgiving myself for all of the times I took what I have for granted. And so today's episode is for the high achievers out there who need a freaking break, who are ready to pour themselves a martini or a mocktail and start really enjoying their lives and living a life of leisure. I have got a bunch of quick hits to help you get into that mode of embodying your wealthiest self. Okay, so to kick it off, here's the number one thing that has been working so well for me in enjoying my life in a little bit more of a leisure mode. And so when I say leisure mode, I'm talking about like, you know, Palm Springs vacation. I'm talking about Palm Beach. I'm talking about living my best life, not having work. Like, who is that version of me and what does she do on a day-to-day basis? Well, let me tell you what she doesn't do. The number one thing that this girl doesn't do, this future version of me, is stress out over every single email that comes through and obsess about the number that's on her phone. That little pesky red dot that's on my mail app, I have done something revolutionary for myself. And when I tell you, it has decreased my anxiety by, I don't know, a measurement. Let me just give you a number. 87%. I'm just going to make it up. 87% improvement in my anxiety, totally anecdotal, is I've turned off the notification button, the little red dot on my emails. I did a poll on my personal and professional Instagram accounts. And I asked people, do you have your work emails on your phone? And it was split. I don't think it was split exactly 50-50. Most people did have their work emails on their phone, but most people also messaged me and said that they were totally burnt out from having their emails on their phone. Some people had very strong opinions saying people that turn off their emails don't care enough. They're not committed to their jobs. It's very Gen Z, all these different types of approaches of email management and the need to be on. And the reality is I run a business. I have team members and clients and new clients and partners and vendors, and I do need to keep my eye on the ball. It would be irresponsible for me to not have my emails on and then just put my head in the sand for all the times that were outside of office hours when I'm not at my desk. That also would make me feel chained to my computer. The whole point of having email on the phone is so we can be mobile, right? And respond to things when we're not at our desks. So I struggled with this because when I was on vacation, I turned off my emails on my phone, but I also responded to all of my emails. I came back from vacation with an inbox zero because I looked for 20 minutes in the morning, every morning. I cleared my inbox, I responded, and I did the CEO thing. My email responses were like, yes, no, approved, go forward, do this again, et cetera. I wasn't getting into the nitty gritty. I'm adopting that, by the way. So if you work for me and you're getting really short emails, it's not you, it's me. However, my point is not having that notification, that red notification button on my phone has saved me. So I still have my work emails on my phone, but I don't have that red dot because the red dot triggers you to go look. And so what is happening now is because it kind of blends in with all the other apps, it doesn't feel urgent. And I choose when I'm in work mode to go look at my emails. And it's not something that draws my attention with that red dot anymore. So the emails are there. I can check it when it occurs to me. But when I'm off the clock, so to speak, when I'm having my own leisure time, I don't have this red thing nagging me at the bottom of my phone the whole time to go look at it. It has made such a difference for me. It's my number one recommendation. And the other thing that I want to say about that is my whole premise in my just like broken brain is that I think the harder I work, the more things that I do, the more results I'll have. We talked about this, right? I need to rest. And so I've been looking for things that I can actively say no to in a very real way. In the last week, I've gotten a couple of mentorship requests. I've gotten people asking for internships, selling me on how they could come into the company and add value. I've been asked to join a board of an organization. I've gotten a new client request. All of these things I've said no to. I've been saying no to more social gatherings that don't like totally light me up. I've been saying more no's to things on my to-do list, like things that I feel like I must do. I've just taken them off the list. I'm looking for things that I can remove from my life, because if you're like me and you're a high achiever, you often are looking for things and thinking the more that you do, the more results that you'll have. But the more that you fill your day with little tasks that are not giving you space or energy, you're not going to be able to move into the next phase, the next level, the next whatever. So my goal recently has been, what can I say no to not add more things to my list? And what's on my list, or what's on my register, what's in my habits that I need to take away? So a couple of the things that I've taken away, and this is going to lead to my next point, which is so important. But when we went on vacation, it's a hard reset for me. All of a sudden, you're out of your environment, you're out of your habits, you're out of your day-to-day. And so a couple of things that I have changed: I am no longer on TikTok. I'm not interested. Like, I'm just not interested. That's just not a part of my habit. It's just, I'm not on it. And there's another hour of my life back per day. The other thing, coming back from vacation, we partied, we had a great time. And so for that, for the rest of the month of April, I just decided not to have alcohol. I took something off my plate. I took a variable away. And for me, being very black and white with that is very easy. I know that's difficult for some people, depending on where you are in your lifestyle. If you have, you know, events coming up, or you love your glass of wine, that's not something that you want to get rid of. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying for me, that was a very easy thing for me to say, nope, I'm just done with that for the month. And I'll revisit it in May to see if I want to come back into that habit. The other thing that I noticed is that just in the buildup to a vacation or a trip or whatever, you're probably like me, if you're listening to this podcast, I go crazy. I'm like, I need new sunglasses, new hat, new beach bikini cover-ups, all the things. And then I get on vacation and I barely wear anything I bought. Everything feels so urgent before the trip. I need everything. And I just recognized I went a little overboard this time, because I've been using the same vacation wardrobe for about 2 years. I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast, but I have like a vacation capsule wardrobe. There's dresses and jewelry and shoes that I only wear on vacation. And I literally wear the same thing on vacation every time we go on a beach vacation. It's so easy to pack and I have everything that I need. But it was getting a little dated, so I refreshed it this year. Love that for me. But for the month of April, just for the rest of the month, I'm just not mindlessly spending. I'm not mindlessly ordering clothes on Amazon that I know I'm going to not like anyway. I'm not going to Target for anything. The things in my Revolve app are going into the favorites, not into the cart. Little things like that. And listen, it's taken me years to get to this place to just decide to turn off my spending. I recognize that it's taken me a lot of practice to be able to do that with confidence, because I used to not have that skill. It's a muscle that I've built over time, over the last many years of learning what my triggers are, calming my financial fight or flight, understanding that my emotions are going to speak to my spending habits, and just making a decision that this month, I'm just not going to do that. If I'm going to get a coffee, it's going to be super intentional. I'm going to go and sit at the cafe with Poppy and have my coffee there. I'm not grabbing and going. And what's happened for me in that is I've recognized that I have a lot of other resources available to me as well. Like, I'm not a big Starbucks girly, but we always bring Starbucks for client shoots and things like that, because they do the big travelers, right? And I got this email. I was craving a coffee the other day. I got this email. It's like, hey, you have 1,000 stars that are about to expire. I was like, oh shoot, I should go use those, because I've been using the Starbucks app to buy the traveler mugs or whatever. So with 1,000 stars, I think that was like 4 free cappuccinos over the last 2 weeks that I'm super grateful for, because they're free for me. They're a reward. And I didn't spend at the super expensive craft coffee place in my building. So I don't know, just little adjustments like that for me. What can I take off of my plate? What am I just not doing? And not forever. It's not for 75 days, not for 100 days. It's not for a quarter. It's just like for the rest of the month. I just decided when we got back from vacation, like, here are the things that are going to feel good to me to take off of my plate. And I did them. And I'm telling you, it's making a difference. So in addition to that, obviously, my next tip after what can you take off of your plate is, when can you book your next break? we went on this trip to Cabo. We go to the same place every time. Well, maybe not forever, but this time, again, we went to the Cape, a Thompson Hotel. Obsessed. Definitely there were some changes since the last time that we went. We thought this time they did some remodeling in the lobby that I didn't agree with. It was kind of feeling more like a chain hotel and less like a boutique hotel. There were a lot more kids there this time. We did go over spring break, and so I think that influenced it for sure. But it was just at the beginning of our trip, a little bit of a different vibe. However, we finally got to stay in the Panoramic Suite, which is not just the best hotel room that the Cape has to offer. It is the best hotel room I have ever been in, hands freaking down. There are two full walls of windows that meet. So like there is a mitered window in the corner of your room. Actually, it's not mitered, but you know what I mean? It's just like glass on glass, and you can see a full 180 degree view of the ocean all the way through the town, the beach, the everything. It's the most insane, most beautiful, well-appointed, well-designed room that I have ever stayed in. The views are immaculate. Huge patio balcony with a plunge pool, watching the sunsets from there. Like, it was just iconic. It was so, so beautiful. Quick little Cabo hits too. Want to give some hot tips. If you're going downtown-ish area for dinner, go to Tres Serenas, not Edith's. We've been to both. Tres Serenas is so much more fun. It means three mermaids in Spanish. And they just have live music every night. And you're having people singing Sweet Caroline at their tables. And they have the mariachi and the energy's up. The team is amazing. The service is on point. The food is phenomenal. Get the fresh fish. Obsessed. Edith's is the same restaurant group. And everybody talks about them kind of as the same company or whatever. It's just like not as fun. The vibes are not good. The team is stressed out. The service is a little grumpy. Food wasn't as great. It was more expensive and it didn't have that fun vibe. So if you're looking for a fun vibe, definitely go to Tres Serenas. Went to Flora Farms again. Absolute amazing. Everybody knows if you've been to Flora Farms, like it's unmatched. Like it's just great. We did the farm margarita, which has carrot juice in it, which you'd think would be disgusting, but it's so healthy tasting and you get a little litty. We had a great experience too. They did a little like happy engagement for us, and some couples came up and said like congratulations to us. Some other couple bought us drinks, which was so sweet, and they were celebrating their engagement. So we had just a very lovely communal, incredible time there, which was so nice. What else do you need to know about Cabo? Oh. Again, the vibes on places. So after one of our dinners at, I think it was at Edith's, we walked down to the office. If you know, you know. And it was during spring break. So they were doing like the embarrassing, you know, like games with spring breakers and stuff on stage, like two girls like twerking it out, playing musical chairs, which was hilarious. And then like basically knocking each other out. And then they like do a little cultural moment. So we had a couple beers there, which was fun. But I wanted to say, the vibes on places. It's not always the most expensive place that's going to be the best. We went to a couple of different hotels this time to check them out. And the more expensive places where they have the cachet, they have the like, the celebrities are going there, they're just flat and they're just the same as any hotel anywhere. You might as well be in Maui or Cabo or wherever. It all feels the same and a little stale, and the culture is a little whitewashed and it's like Taco Tuesday and it's not authentic Mexican cuisine. It's not energy at the pool. What we love on our vacations is one main pool with great music, with a DJ, a must, and vibes. Like the crowd has to be crowding. You know what I mean? Like you don't want, at one of the hotels we went to, there was a woman knitting at the pool. Like, and she was probably a lovely person with a lot of money, but like, I'm not necessarily going to strike up conversation with her. Like, you guys, the people we sat next to at the pool on one of our last days, amazing. First of all, creative directors for Kanye West for the beginning of his career, know everything about Bianca. I don't know if you can hear Poppy snoring in the background, but she's in the room with me, FYI. They were creatives from Southern California, worked on massive campaigns, just shot Kim's campaign. Incredibly interesting people. Love that for us. Like, that's the type of place we want to go. So people are asking me, and we're going to do a podcast episode about this. Like, where do you meet like-minded people that are doing things that are interesting, that are, you know, people you want to meet with, network up with? You got to put yourself in the right places, and you've got to have something interesting to talk about as well. So you need to be working on your own stuff so that there's an equal energy exchange. And we really found that there was with this random couple we connected with. Anyway, my point is, when is your next vacation? Our next vacation is already booked. I feel really good about it. This next vacation is a trip, not a vacation, to be completely honest. We have a lily pad trip for a weekend in between there. But I just think all of us high achievers out there would really do well to adopt the European way of things, which is planning your vacations first and then planning your work life around it. And that's something that I'm really working to do so that my focus is on the fun that we're having, not the work that I'm doing 100% of the time. The work is very important. I love the work. I'm grateful for the work. However, if it's all work and no play, that is not a life of leisure. That is not the life I'm trying to live. So the vacation was medically necessary. I'm so glad we did it. Came back into a world of hurt, to be completely honest. But honestly, the vacation that week was so crucial and beautiful and connecting and all the things. So the one thing I'm asking you to add to your to-do list is to make sure that you have a vacation or a trip or a break, even if it's a staycation, on your books. And as I mentioned, the vacation experience is just about breaking routine. So even if you just do something to really drastically break your routine for a week, you go stay at your parents' house or your in-laws or a friend's house just to get out of your normal routine, go do it. Take the things off of your plate that don't feel good just for a week and add some things back in. And for me, the thing that I needed to add back in to replace the TikTok was reading a really good book. I have always been a reader. I love to read. I have some great recs for you right now and one to stay away from. However, I've always been a reader, but I've been struggling recently. And you know what they say about like depression is like you stopped enjoying the things that you used to enjoy. I'm sure I've heard that on a commercial somewhere with a bunch of health risks of taking an antidepressant. My point is I stopped doing the things that brought me joy. I've been stressed and I've been really unfocused. And the thing that happened on vacation, the hard reset, is I started reading again. And I haven't read a book since, I don't know, fall of 2023. No, that's not true. I was reading a little bit late last year. I'm looking at my list right now, but I have all these samples downloaded and I just never ended up reading them. And I'm talking about reading for pleasure, not just like work-related stuff. But I read some really great books. I want to give some recs. The first one is Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle. So cute. It's a little rom-com. It is got a little bit of magic realism in it, but it's a very cute book that was easy to digest and just lovely. I completely enjoyed it and liked the characters in it. So that was a definite win. A great beach read. Again, it's called Expiration Dates by Rebecca Searle. The next one that I read was First Lie Wins by Ashley Elston. I kind of thought this would just be like a normal thriller type of a read, but it's kind of like a spy novel in a way. It's got like mistaken identities or different identities. You think it's going to be one of those like girl marrying up for money type of a movie or book rather. But it's really well done and it totally surprised me. Like the twists and turns in it was really good. So it's kind of thrillery. It's hard to figure out. You're like waiting for the, you know, the explanation in the book. I could not put it down. I really enjoyed that one. And the next one I enjoyed even more because there was a podcast tie-in and it was called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera. And this is a story of a girl whose best friend was murdered and she was one of the prime suspects. And there's a podcast that dredges up the case, like this old cold case, to start a true crime podcast. So you're reading about this girl and she's kind of like an annoying character to be completely honest, but you read about this girl who goes back to her hometown to basically face the demons and figure out who killed her best friend. If she did it, she doesn't know. And the way that the podcaster kind of unveils everything that was going on behind the scenes, really, really good read. And then after that, I read a book that I wouldn't recommend. It was called The Weekend Retreat by Tara Laskowski. And the reason I was excited about this is because it has all the trappings of an old money book. I mean, listen, okay, I wouldn't say that I wouldn't recommend it. I read it. It just like the ending didn't really do it for me. It's essentially about these three very wealthy trust fund kids basically going back to this estate and they're getting sabotaged and it's about their spouses. You get all different points of view. You figure out what's happening on this weekend retreat. There's all this drama happening with every character. It was intriguing, but the ending just kind of fell flat. I felt like it dragged for a really long time. This weekend retreat felt like a month-long retreat when I was reading it, so not my most favorite. However, I turned the page and started reading Bad Summer People by Emma Rosenblum. And this is another Old Money book. It is all about a summer on Fire Island and how people there in the tennis club are interacting, a lot of money, politics, dynamic, private schools, wealthy parents, lots of nannies. I'm about halfway through it and I'm really enjoying it. This is another one where you see things from a lot of different people's perspectives, which I love books like that because I almost feel like whenever you have one narrator, it can't be trusted. Like, you know this, there's more than one version of the truth. So that is an absolute yes for me. Bad Good People, Bad Summer People. I'm so sorry. But also, in addition to those books, I read another book, a nonfiction, and this actually references back to one of the most downloaded episodes of Old Money thus far. If you haven't listened to the episode about boundaries, go listen to it and then go buy this book. I wish I had this book before I did this episode because the author, Melissa Urban, who is the co-founder of Whole30, wrote The Book of Boundaries. The subtext is Set the Limits That Will Set You Free. And this is something that every woman should have on her bookshelf. Don't buy this on Kindle, buy the paperback book. And the reason I say that is because this is such an easy read because you only have to really read what's relevant to you. There's like two or three intro chapters to kind of set the stage about boundaries, how this author thinks about boundaries. And then each of the individual chapters in the book have different types of people or situations you would need to set boundaries with and scripts on how to do it. So for example, there's a chapter all about setting boundaries at work, setting boundaries with your in-laws, setting boundaries with your parents, setting boundaries in your relationship, and all of these different scenarios. And then there's different scripts for each of the particular boundaries that you could give in order to support yourself. So just really quick, high-level takeaways on this book, because I think it's important. So she has a couple frameworks about boundaries, and I don't have it in front of me, so this is just from memory. So forgive me if it's not absolutely perfect. Again, the author is Melissa Urban, but some of her frameworks include boundaries from like the sense of the fact that we have to set them. Not only do we have to set them, we have to be incredibly clear about them. We have to verbalize them. And then we have to restate them. And then we have to enforce them with consequences. Those boundaries can be with another person. They can be with ourselves, et cetera. I recognize that I make a lot of assumptions about boundaries. Like, I have boundaries about things, but I don't always state them out loud because I think they should be common sense. Like, don't say that to me or don't speak to me that way. However, that's not what a boundary is. It's my responsibility to set the boundary, reinforce it, and then enforce a consequence if it's missed, right? And you have to be really good about doing all those things. Now, when stating the boundaries, this is another framework I really like. She has this like Homeland Security warning light system. Basically, when you're feeling threatened or unsafe or whatever the reason is you feel like you need to set a boundary, you need to assess the risk. If it's a green level risk, meaning it's not that bad, you're kind of assuming they have good intent, they're not a bad actor, you need to give a green level boundary. That's kind of like, hey, oops, I don't think you meant to say it like that, but this, you know, this is my boundary. Then you go to the yellow, which is reframe for you or say it again, this is my boundary, stating it for yourself. And then red is, okay, the boundary is being crossed, I'm removing myself from the situation and you cannot do X, Y, and Z, or I cannot do X, Y, and Z. And that's the other thing I just slipped up right there is that the boundaries are not about what the other person's activities are. It's not about what the other person's doing or not doing. It's about how you react to them. So for example, she uses the, you know, Uncle Jim is a smoker. You're not going to say, Uncle Jim, you can't smoke. Uncle Jim, I want you to quit smoking. But you can say, if you're going to be in my house, we don't allow smoking inside. There's no smoking in this house. It's not about you can smoke here, or you can't smoke there. It's the boundary is my control, my environment. Another analogy for that is not like, don't yell at me. Like, you can't yell at me. The boundary is if you're going to yell, I'm going to not engage in the conversation. So really interesting frameworks there. Again, buy the paperback so that you can flip through, go directly to the areas in your life where you need help. And then you can easily reference back if something comes up for you in the future, whether it's with work or in a relationship, and you can go find the boundary script that you need. Absolutely recommend. It's called The Book of Boundaries by Melissa Urban. Hey, girlies, I have something for you. That's right. It's a gift, something for free, just to make you feel abundant and wealthy. I put together a super chic, free to download net worth tracker. It's super cute and pretty, and it gets the job done. Listen, I've been tracking my net worth since 2016, and since then, it's grown by 677%. It's insane. And listen, it's not the net worth tracker that did it, but it is my attention to my big financial goals. And seeing it all on paper has given me the laser focus that I need to get really serious about my financial journey. Keeping track of your net worth is one of the most powerful things you can do to take control of your financial life, and I want to help you do that. So this is free to download. You can get it at oldmoneypodcast.com/net worth, all one word. Drop your email. It'll get sent to you immediately. You just make a copy. It's in Google Sheets, and you can plug all your numbers in to see what your net worth is today. Again, it's oldmoneypodcast.com/net worth. If you have questions about how to use it, go back and listen to episode 35. It's called Tracking Your Net Worth. It's worth its weight in gold, because that's what it really is. oldmoneypodcast.com/net worth, and let me know what you think. So reading's been a big part of my self-care, and you guys know me. I am a reality TV junkie, and usually that's my self-care as well. I'm Bravo, PhD, I know everything about everybody. Teresa Giudice and Taylor Swift at Coachella, I die for it. All of the announcements that were happening on Bravo this week, just so many things. But recently, I'm just not in my Bravo era. It is feeling so super toxic. It's so produced. I'm just not really enjoying it. So I've actually recognized that for right now, for where I'm at, I need to remove that from my life. It's just too much arguing. It's too much production. I don't enjoy Vanderpump Rules. I'm not really enjoying The Valley. Below Deck is not doing it for me. And The Housewives are just not crushing. I am very excited for Real Housewives of Orange County, though. The Shannon, Alexis Bellino, a whole dynamic. Give it to me. I cannot wait. Anyway, right now, Bravo's not it. So I haven't been watching a lot of TV. It's been better, but I have binge watched two shows recently, one of which I'm very proud to share that is amazing, and I'm happy to put my name on it. The other one has to be a secret between me and you. Like, you cannot tell anybody that I listen to this. Like, if this gets out, it will destroy my reputation. It's so embarrassing. So secrets, like, just be prepared to keep a secret from me, okay? The first show, the one that I'm proud to say is freaking phenomenal, is Palm Royale on Apple TV. I have to shout out my girls, Addie and Susanna, who said that I must watch the show because it is so old money, and it is so old money. Kristen Wiig is the star, but it is a star-studded cast. Ricky Martin is stealing my soul. Even though wasn't he recently embroiled in some sort of drama? I feel like there's some stigma around his name for me, but I cannot remember why. I cannot recall at the moment. However, Palm Royale is all about this group of women in Palm Beach in the 1960s, 1969 to be exact. It is so well done. Kristen Wiig's physical comedy is unmatched, but also just her personality quirks are so perfect for this character who is trying to get accepted by the women of Palm Beach, trying to find her way in society, trying to make it work when she doesn't have the money or the status to do so. In addition, the set design, the costumes, the hair, everything is so great. It is an enjoyable watch. It's got twists and turns. It's hysterical, but it's also like a mystery in a way. You don't really know what's going on with all the characters. They leave you in the dark on a lot of things and things get revealed. And it's such an enjoyable watch. I binged the first few episodes. Cannot wait for it to come out. Absolutely recommend Palm Royale. Again, it's on Apple TV. The second show, this is the one I need you to keep a secret. It's on Peacock. It's so horrific that I'm so obsessed with the show. It's called McBee Dynasty. If you know, you know. But here's how I'm going to spin it into something that I think is educational. McBee Dynasty is about this group of men. There's a dad and then four brothers, one of which you never see anything about, that have this farm in Missouri, I think. And they're running this farm. And the dad, I don't want to spoil it for you if you haven't watched it, but the dad is a bad actor. He is questionable in every sense of the word. And you are seeing, this is the business side of things, them try to go after $100 million of capital while they're $50 million in debt from expanding their business operations. And the fact that they're acting normally is incredible to me, because that amount of money, like the stakes and the way that the people on the show are involved in or responsible for managing that capital raise is insane. The drama is beyond. It is a reality show. I have verified these are real people. It's a real farm. I looked it up on Google Maps. This shit is fucking crazy. And it is so trashy in the most delicious way. It's about cowboys. It's like real life Yellowstone. I am obsessed, but I cannot endorse a single person on that show for their behavior. And I just don't want to say anything more than that, because I don't want to ruin the surprise, because I was at times like pacing in my house watching this, being like, is this shit fucking real? It is crazy, horrible, super trashy, very enjoyable. And it's a great lesson on capital and raising money from investors. And I can't wait to talk about it with you. If you've watched this show, please DM me in private. I will protect your identity. I promise I will not let anybody at your workplace or in your family know that you enjoyed it like me, because it's that embarrassing. But my God, what a brilliant masterpiece. I need season two immediately. Okay? Immediately. Moving on to the next category of content that I wanted to recommend to you today, which was a social media follow. So I've got three amazing social media follows for me. I've been clearing out my follow list recently, but there's three people that I've been enjoying eating up everything that they post. The first, you know her, you met her last week, Samantha Bird Shiloh, with her videos about how she teaches her kids just basic finance tasks and also the things that come up for her in those lessons. I love the way she is, so approachable. I loved having her on the show. She was so fun, so cute. You guys, that was her first podcast episode ever, and she was a freaking pro. She had all the best equipment. She was so polished. I didn't even know that until after we had wrapped, but she was amazing. And she really has some great ideas that I think are really beneficial for families. So if there's somebody in your life, if you don't have kids, but you have friends who have kids, or you have brothers or sisters who have kids, you have nieces and nephews, please share that episode with them. I think it's invaluable. And then go give Samantha Bird a quick follow. She makes great content. The next person on my list is the most random ever. I don't even know what her name is, but I'll tell you her handle. And you're going to laugh at me when I tell you this handle. It's sale_coast1226. Like what? Like what is that? What is that 2012 Instagram handle doing in my roundup here? Okay, apparently her name is Lisa Costa. She's a wife and a mother on her profile, a digital creator, style influencer, and fitness enthusiast. And this woman must be in her late 40s, something like that. And she's crushing. She has amazing style. She also kind of randomly moonlights as like a lingerie model and is like trying to be really sexy with her husband. But you can tell they've got a great relationship. Like if you know, you know, like they still fucking, it's great. And she has great kind of like mature but sexy style that's very classy. We're talking like high necklines, pantsuits, beautiful dresses, always with a belt. She's got a great body. She's in the gym all the time. She shares her meals. And like, the way that I'm disconnected from her, because she's not preaching and talking to camera on her Instagram stories all the time. She's just posting what she's doing, what she's eating, how she's working out. It's just like easy to digest. I don't know. I'm getting a little fatigued from all these influencers like talking to me in their car every single day and giving me an update about like what their babies are doing and this, that, the other thing. It's like, it's too much information. I just want to see a cute outfit. It's like when you go to look for a recipe online and they have all of that BS about their day and their family and their grandma's recipe, and you have to scroll for an hour before you get to the recipe. She is the influencer version of just giving you the recipe. Like, here's the belt, here's the top, here's the pants, here's how I put it together. And the thing that I'm learning from her more than anything is I think the thing that influences an outfit the most is a good hair day. I don't know. You know that my brand has always been messy hair. I just have unruly, fine, thin, challenged to style hair that gets dried out really, really quickly. But this woman has like amazing voluminous hair that's always flipping in the right direction. And I think it really brings a lot to her outfits. So something to consider. Again, this woman's handle is sale_coast1226. Perhaps we should work on a brand there. Maybe I should reach out to her. She's got great style. She dresses really well. She's cute. I love her. Go check her out. And then the last person on my list is somebody, if you are interested in pop culture, she's a must follow. Her name is Liz P. Woods. And I can already see right now 24 people that we have 24 people in common that follow her. And when I tell you that she is it for pop culture, she started as like a Toast super fan, I think, and now has kind of morphed into her own influencer status, mostly on her Instagram stories. That's where you're going to look. I think she's kind of like on the up and up. She's also a full-time attorney. She works full-time. I don't know how she has the time to keep track of everything and post on her Instagram stories, literally a million dashes a day, but she's a trendsetter. She's got the inside jokes. There is community, there is culture within her group of followers here. And honestly, I know the Toast Girls are friends with her. And I feel like Claudia is getting a lot of her takes from Liz P. Woods. Like Liz P. Woods is the originator of the thought. And Claudia is the distributor of information via the Toast. Like, let me know if you relate. Let me know if you're seeing that trend. Anyway, Liz P. Woods is everything of the sort, to use another Toast terminology. However, if you are into pop culture, she has the takes. Like, that's where I go to news. Sorry, Page Six. Who is she? I don't know her. I know Liz P. Woods for my social media integration into pop culture. So my favorite social media follows right now, Samantha Bird Shiloh, Sail Coast 1226. Wow, that's a number. That's a mouthful. And Liz P. Woods. And moving on to the next category of content that I would love to share with you, I want to talk about podcasts because your girl loves a podcast. I don't really listen back to my podcasts either. So this is about what's happening out there in the world. Two really good episodes for you to listen to that I think are two sides of the same coin. Number one, Manifestation Babe. Who is Manifestation Babe? I don't know. I've just been following her online for a while. And I kind of dip in and out of her content, to be completely honest with you. A lot of it's like travel related, wanderlust, like I'm living my richest life. She's an online course creator. You guys know how I feel about people that talk about their revenue numbers and things like that online. So I always look at these creators with a bit of, obviously with a lot of respect, but a bit of detachment, because I'm not trying to replicate what they're doing, nor am I buying what they're selling. However, she did a podcast episode recently and it's called What It's Like to Be on the Verge of a Breakthrough, my most vulnerable episode yet. And it just came up while I was walking Poppy in the park, and I ended up sitting in the park and just listening to her episode, and I related to it so much. She talks a lot about the season of life that she's in. She's stagnated in her revenue growth in business. Again, she talks about revenue numbers and all that type of stuff. And she's talking about how she's kind of having a shamanic death. And she has done this year after year, where she goes through this period of burnout and stress and questioning herself. Why is she even doing this business? Everybody on her team's going to leave her. She's never going to make money again. She's going to have to go back and get a job somewhere else. Why is she doing what she's doing? Nobody's listening. And the reason it resonated with me so much is because I have those thoughts too. And I think a lot of us at different parts of our life think that. I wonder all the time, when is my team going to leave me? When is everything going to fall apart? Why am I even doing this podcast? Why am I building a business? I do not see the end yet. And I have to get more comfortable in having faith that things are going to continue to develop. And I'm just on this path. And the journey is the point. And the way that she talks about what she's going through, it might not be super relatable to everybody. It wasn't to me. But some of these core fears and thought patterns were very, very hit, like just hit the nail on the head for me. And I really appreciated her being so vulnerable. And I kind of was looking at myself of like, how can I show up more vulnerably with you guys, with the rich girls? Because I'm not here to pretend like I figured it all out. I'm a multimillionaire. I'm preaching from my pedestal, like Dave Ramsey yelling at millennials for not working hard enough. Like, no, I'm in the trenches. I'm doing this with you. We're doing this together. We are all building together, and I'm trying things too, and not everything works out, and I have fears and doubts and all the things. And I can go into more detail on that if you are interested in me doing so, but Catherine did it for us first. So the episode, I'll link it in the show notes. It's a really good one. That's just another perspective, whether you know this girl or not. I think it was refreshing for me to hear somebody else that just got these ideas of how they're supposed to have it all together and all figured out. And the reality is that we're just posturing and trying to present that to the world, but nobody has it all figured out. I certainly don't, and neither does she. So a really, really good episode there. I'll link it, like I said, in the show notes. And the other episode that I have to pump is by Jessica Marks, who is an advisor of mine on and off. She's a business advisor here in San Diego. She owns the company Tailored Premier. Her podcast is called Millions Were Made, and she has this episode, What Holds Companies Back from Scaling Past $1 Million? Every time I talk to Jessica, whether it's just casual or business related, she just takes me to church. Like, I love her approach on life, on parenthood, mothering. She's just a lovely friend, a wonderful person, and she's fucking smart, smart as a whip, especially when it comes to business. She has built businesses, sold them, scaled businesses. She gets it. And everything she said in this podcast episode, if you are a business owner, you need to hear it. As she was going through them, because I had the opportunity to go to a retreat with her just recently, fortunately, I'm working through a lot of the things that she talked about in this episode. But I was like, yes, I need to go back and do that again. Yes, I need to run those reports again. Yes, I need to get the data and action on it. Everything she says in this podcast episode, what holds companies back from scaling past $1 million? It's not just past $1 million. It's to the next level. Whether you're at a hobby business right now and you're trying to scale to $100,000, if you're at $100,000, trying to get to $500,000 to $1 million, $1 million to $3 million, wherever you are in this journey, the business principles are foundational and so actionable and clear. That's why I love working with her. She's so clear. If you own a business, go listen to this episode. Jessica Marks, Millions Were Made. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about as a category of leisure is actually about my own leisure and my own self-care. And I don't know about you all, but sometimes it feels like self-care is a chore. Like, and self-care, by the way, I'm not talking about getting in the bathtub or doing a hair mask or whatever. I'm talking about the work, the actual work, the work that moves the needle, the self-care, which is that taking the time to be quiet with ourselves, taking the time to journal, to reflect, to process, instead of just being reactive through everything, taking a step back to figure out how we feel. My biggest form of self-care recently has been honoring myself and my time and my practices so that I can be not reactive to the rest of the world, but in control of my emotions so that when things happen, there's a pause in between the stimulus and my response. If you have a Huberman husband or you are an ice bath queen, you know that that is exactly what ice bath training is all about. It's about calming your nervous system, controlling your reactions to something uncomfortable so that you can have a pause in between the stimulus, the uncomfortableness, and your response. That is really what it's about. It's about mental training. Of course, there's the physiological benefits of, you know, being in ice burns fat and blah, 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 and controlling your heart rate. But that controlling of the stimulus and response is what I've been working on recently. And for me, what that looks like is doing my practices that I know allow me a bit of perspective and calm and space in between the email coming in and my gut reaction, or the thing that I believe to be urgent and the thing that actually is urgent. And honestly, in work, most things are not urgent. So honoring myself means I'm doing my tapping practice again. And I want to link you to one of the best tappings that I've done recently. Gala Darling is somebody that I followed for years and years since she just had a fashion blog. And she now is an EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique, tapping queen. And tapping is a process, I've talked about it before, that I've used to heal a lot of negative thought patterns or old programming and reprogram myself through this modality, which is tapping in different meridian points on your body while you tell yourself a story of whatever it is you're trying to heal or work through. I've been doing a lot of tapping recently. I found a great one from her from like 2019, where she's talking about tapping on life is beautiful and forgiving ourselves for all of the times that we took it for granted or didn't recognize it. And it was actually one of the inspirations for me to do this podcast episode. I want to talk about things that I love, things that are lighting me up, things that are making me feel wealthy. Right now, it is leisure. It is McBee Dynasty, judgment or no judgment. What are the things in my life that are beautiful that I can honor? And one of the things that I can honor is the fact that I have the time and can make the time. I'm prioritizing the time to take care of myself through tapping as modality through journaling. I have a 5-minute journal practice that I do in the morning, taking my supplements, making sure I'm good about them, making sure that I'm getting support has been a big one. And so, as I mentioned, a lot of the things that I stress about are the things that I feel like I have to do myself. Like I'm overloaded. What are the things they can take off my list? And right now I'm outsourcing a lot of things that I need support with. Not that I'm giving away my power, but it's like going to therapy, for example. I have it on my calendar. I'm outsourcing the responsibility of needing to process by putting it on my calendar and having somebody to walk through it with me. Also, hiring some very specific roles in my company for support that have been game-changing as it relates to supporting my team, supporting our processes, supporting our operations, really looking at getting support from a kind of central nervous system and leadership perspective of hiring the support that I need to be a healthy leader and getting the support that I need from my friends, reaching out. And everybody's busy. My friends are so busy. A lot of my friends have kids, full schedules, full-time jobs. And it's hard to be like, hey, I need something from you. And a lot of the time, all I need is just somebody to listen. And I've been more verbal about that recently to get the support that I need. I also just took a random trip home to see my mom because I needed the support. I needed to be at home with my mom. And I made the time and the priority to do that. And the reality is that it's, in a certain lens, very selfish. It's okay with me to be selfish. We're here to live our lives, to be the best versions of ourselves and take care of ourselves so that we can show up better for others. So for me, my self-care recently has been not just turning off the notifications on my email app, not just indulging in the things, the content that feels good for me, but taking care of myself in a really meaningful way. Because when I envision my rich life, I come first. So the next episode that's coming up is all about health and the wealth that you have when you're healthy. I cannot wait to dive into it with you because this has also been a big part of my self-care. We're going to break it down in a really meaningful way. But before I let you go, I told you I was going to give you two really big announcements, and now I'm kind of regretting it. But here's the two really big announcements. Number one, I have an incredible series coming up. We're calling it the Ivy League, and I am bringing in experts, like the best of the best, to talk to you about the next high-level financial things that I haven't scratched the surface on yet. Because you guys, I'm not the financial expert end-all be-all on all things. There are so many people out there that specialize in their specific functions, whether it's insurance, it's estates, it's estate planning, wills, trusts, it's about business finance, it's about real estate. I'm pulling in the experts and we're going from basically like 100-level classes in college to your master's program. I've always intended to do this. I'm so excited to do it, to bring on the next level. And the foundations are set. We've talked about financial fight or flight. We've talked about budgeting. We've talked about credit cards. We're going to revisit those conversations again and again and again. Because honestly, every time I put away my mic, I'm like, damn it, I should have said this about that. I always think about things later. Like if you're going to start a business, by the way, we talked about this on the trad wife to girl boss journey or girl boss to trad wife journey episode. You need an attorney. You need really good support, a bookkeeper. I need to go through all of these details with you of the ways that I've really honestly been able to grow this business. It's not just like a lark and a fucking song. I have gotten the best support, be able to be compliant, be financially sound, to be legally sound. There's so many details there. We didn't even scratch the surface yet. My point is, we're going to start getting higher levels of education around our financial lives and what can really move the needle, because I want to take the conversation from, are you skipping your latte, to are you investing in a rental property? I don't want to talk about canceling your Netflix subscription. I want to talk about tax advantages, tax strategies. If you're a W-2 employee or if you're self-employed, what you need to be looking for to minimize your tax burden to the government so that you can hold on to more of the wealth that you build. That's the stuff that we're going to. I'm so excited to go there with you. So that's announcement number one. Announcement number two is that at long last, you have been asking me for it for months. And here's the thing, I've been resisting doing it because the bandwidth, like I don't have the capacity. I'm going to be super, super honest with you. I don't have the capacity, but we're going to be introducing a Rich Girl community very, very soon. It's going to drop as soon as I can get it together. a community where all of you guys can network. And because you guys are the OGs, I'm going to give it to you for free first. And we're going to do it absolutely for free for everybody who's already a part of our journey. We're having some things coming up where I know our audience is going to explode again, and we're going to have another hockey stick. So I want my OG rich girls in there first, starting that community, networking with each other, building each other up, doing business with one another, learning from each other, getting transparent in a super safe, controlled space. It's not going to be on Facebook. I will put the link together for you as soon as humanly possible so that you can get into that community and connect with your other rich girls, because I will tell you, it's the connections that I've made in my life that have increased my business, my profitability, the richness of my friendships by being in community with people in a really vulnerable way. We're going to have money dates in there. We can have live chats in there, private conversations in there, two-way conversations in there. So if you are a rich girl and you're looking for community, I'm building it for you. I promise. I swear I've been working on it and I wanted it to be good. So I didn't want to rush the process. And I appreciate your patience with me, but it is coming up soon. Check out our Instagram for links on that. I'll start dropping it in the show notes once we have it set up. I will let you know how to get into it for free before we start to charge for access. I love you girls so, so much. I hope you are having a very luxurious, wealthy, rich, fulfilled week, and that this podcast brought you some joy, some inspiration, some fun things to lean into for your leisure, for your pleasure, because you deserve it. And that is what a rich life really, really is. So with that, I'll bid you adieu until the next episode. Thank you for being here. If this spoke to you, please post it on your Instagram story, share it with a friend, leave me a review, make sure to smash that subscribe button. I love you so, so much. Thank you. And I will talk to you soon. Feeling rich? I hope so. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Old Money. If you have questions you want answered, email me at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on social. We are at Old Money Podcast and I am at your service. If this episode spoke to you, inspired you, helped you, if you took a single note, it would mean the world to me if you could please just take a minute to rate and review the podcast. And if you're not doing so already, subscribe. And if you have friends who like getting rich, please share this episode with them, even if it's just on your Instagram story. And I'd love you more than Jeff Bezos loves Amazon Prime. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Remember, I'm not your lawyer, I'm not your tax professional, and I'm not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners in their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice. In addition to that, this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services.